It was Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday of the year 2000. John MacArthur had been preaching through the Gospel of Luke, every week proclaiming Jesus Christ and his gospel. He got into the fourth chapter with Jesus' victory over Satan in the wilderness and the account of Jesus' rejection at Nazareth. All the while, of course, MacArthur is exalting Christ. And as he himself recounts, the kingdom of darkness doesn't like that. I came in on Easter Sunday morning at about 6:30 because we had had an early 7 o'clock service, and I had some security guys take care of me. They watch me, he says, because they want to protect me, and I'm glad for that. They went through the normal process, opening the doors, letting me through. And I went into my office and sat down at my desk, just praying a little bit, and all of a sudden I felt the presence of someone in the room. I looked up, and there was a guy standing right across the desk. He was wearing gym shorts and a t-shirt, and he had about a 6-foot-long spear sharpened to a point. He was holding in his hand, and I looked at him and I said, "Can I help you?" And he says, "Yes, I'm here to make my presentation this morning." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "I am making the presentation this morning." And MacArthur says he was real intense and strange. And I said, oh, that presentation. Yeah, there's a guy in the hall who's in charge of that. Let me go and get him because he wants to talk to you about it. He says, okay. So MacArthur goes out the door and he finds a fellow by the name of Merrill. And he says to him, "There's a guy in there with a spear who wants to talk to you." "What? I'm telling you, there's a guy in there in gym shorts with a spear, a big stick, and he wants to talk to you. You've got to be kidding me." "I'm not kidding you. I don't know whether he slept there all night. I don't know how he got in there, but he's in there, and he's very threatening, and he needs to talk to someone about his presentation." Well, needless to say, the security guys took care of him. The following Sunday, though, after MacArthur preached, he came down the steps, and a man came after him physically in a very intense way and had to be restrained and eventually handcuffed and taken away. And then the third week in a row after MacArthur preached and came down from the platform, another glassy-eyed person came toward him and got right up in his face saying, "Why are you trying to hurt me? Why are you trying to hurt me?" He too had to be restrained. And later on, a relative of his called to say that this man was threatening to get a gun and kill MacArthur. I don't know about you, but after week 3, I'd be a little gun shy, quite literally, to show up at church. That being said, what happened at Grace Community Church 19 years ago bears a striking resemblance to what happened at the synagogue in Capernaum in our text for this morning. In fact, MacArthur himself, in reflecting on what happened that third week in particular, said that the man's words to him, "Why are you trying to hurt me?" were just too close a quote to the text of Luke 4:34 for him not to think that that was not demonic. And in case you have trouble with double negatives, he was pretty much convinced this is demonic. That means that demons are still alive and active today. The question is, what do we do with that? What do we do with the idea that demons are still alive and active today? That that's not just something from 2,000 years ago. All we need to do is turn back 20 years and we've got a trustworthy man giving us his own personal account. Well, to help answer the question of what we do with the idea of demons alive and well today, let me take you to our text for this morning. If you haven't done so already, we're going to look at Luke chapter 4, verses 31 to 44. In the Pew Bible, you can find it on page 860. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 31. "And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? Why are you trying to hurt me? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them, and would not allow them to speak, because they knew he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Twice we read in this text of Jesus casting out demons. We have the story that's very similar to what John MacArthur experienced, recorded for us in verses 31 to 37. And then we have the reference in verse 41 to demons also coming out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But Jesus rebuked them and would not allow them to speak. Now, in looking at the event in the Capernaum synagogue, I want you to notice the reaction of the people in verse 36. They were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." That word authority appears in verse 32 as well. Before Jesus came face to face with the demon-possessed man, the people in the synagogue were already astonished at his teaching. Why? For his word possessed authority. His word possessed authority. Mark puts it this way in his gospel: "They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes." Jesus' authority is what holds this text together. He has authority over the scribes. He has authority over the demons. And he has authority over disease. That's what we're meant to see in verses 38 to 40. When we read of Jesus rebuking Simon's mother-in-law's fever, that word rebuke is the same word that we see in verses 35 and 41 when Jesus exercises his authority over the demons. As Lincoln Duncan says, how do you rebuke a fever? You don't if you're not the king. You don't if you didn't create the body. You don't if you're not the Son of God. You don't if you're not the Holy One of Israel or someone invested with his power and authority. Jesus rebukes the fever and it leaves her. That's authority. Authority over demons, authority over disease, and authority over the scribes. It reminds me of Jesus' words in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus, the one with all authority, is with us. That's the take-home for today. Jesus, the one with all authority, is with us. He is with us when we face milquetoast teaching. He is with us when we face disease. And He is with us when we face demons. Jesus, the one with all authority, is with us when we face demons. That is an incredibly comforting thought. As we proclaim the gospel, as we go into all the world to preach the gospel, to make disciples of all nations, we do so encroaching on Satan's territory. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us that he is the god of this world. And believe me, Satan is protective when it comes to his territory. That being said, John MacArthur, the man whose Easter was repeatedly interrupted by the demonic, can easily and confidently say, I don't worry about demons coming after me. I trust God to take care of me. He actually talks first about his security team and he says, don't tell them this, but I only trust them so far. I trust God to take care of me. MacArthur can say that because God in Christ proved his authority over the demons. When Jesus told them to come out, they came out. When Jesus told them to be silent, they were silent. Whatever Jesus commanded them to do, they did. That's authority. As many of you know, this year marks 50 years that John MacArthur has been the pastor of Grace Community Church, and in that time, he has faced demons on more than one occasion. When he first came, so you're turning the clock back to like 1969, 70, early 70s, somewhere. When he first came, there was a Sunday night after the evening service when he got a call from Jerry Mitchell, his associate pastor at the time, saying this, "You've got to come down here, John. I've got a girl in here who's got all kinds of demon voices." Jerry had never experienced anything like this, MacArthur says, and I never had either. So I said, well, I don't know if I could be of much help, but I'm coming right down. So he came down. He walked in, and there was chaos in the office. The place was in disarray. She had overturned the desk, and poor Jerry, who was a boxer in the Navy, was having a hard time defending himself. And then MacArthur says this, I'll never forget the greeting when I walked in the door. Out of this girl's mouth came this voice, and I can't replicate it, but I know what the voice said. It's something like, not him, not him, get him out of here, get him out of here, with reference to MacArthur. I don't think the demon was afraid of me humanly, MacArthur says. I don't have any human power to deal with demons. In fact, Jerry and I didn't know what to do. We started trying to send the demons away. We sent them everywhere we could think of. The pit, the abyss, Phoenix, anywhere hot. And the bottom line is, I love that. The bottom line is they didn't go anywhere. And so we were just praying and saying to ourselves, you know, this isn't working. This casting out thing isn't working. I'm not Jesus, and we're not apostles, and we don't have authority over that kingdom. There's only one way that this girl will ever be delivered, and that is when Christ delivers her in the act of salvation. And so we wrestled, literally, physically, trying to restrain her and get her into a chair. And she was so exhausted physically and finally calmed down, and we gave her the gospel. And she confessed her sin, just really gushed out her sin before the Lord and embraced Jesus. And then it was just this calm that came over everywhere. Nothing to do with me, MacArthur says. Nothing to do with a formula. Nothing to do with an exorcism. That is not what deals with demons. Jesus deals with demons. And he dealt with hers. And so as we proclaim the gospel, as we seek to make disciples of all nations, yes, we do so encroaching on Satan's territory. But we also do so with the authoritative Lord of heaven and earth on our side. The Prince of Darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word from whom? Jesus can fell him. Jesus has authority over demons. We don't need to be afraid of them. Jesus also has authority over diseases. We don't need to be afraid of them either. Look at verse 40 and notice how wide-ranging Jesus' authority over disease is. It isn't just high fevers that Jesus can command to leave a person. All those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. As Kent Hughes says, every manner of disease was there. Consumption, raging fevers, cancer, degenerative diseases, MS, diabetes, rickets, the crippled, the palsied, the blind. I mean, that's the idea of this text. Various diseases. Jesus healed them all. There's not a single disease in the world that can resist the rebuke of Jesus. Now, that being said, it is worth considering what James Montgomery Boyce said to his congregation when he was diagnosed with cancer. When asked if they could pray for him, he said, "Certainly you can pray for God to heal me. But I believe the same God who can heal me could have prevented me from ever having cancer. It's his purpose. If he chooses to heal me, that's fine. If he chooses to take me to glory, that's fine." Either way, Boyce was going to win. Either way, Boyce was going to be healed. Wasn't it good to hear again the promise this morning from Revelation 21:4? God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things will have passed away. Disease for a believer is not a thing to fear. Jesus has authority over it. And one day, in either this life or the next, he is going to rebuke it and it will be gone. Jesus has authority over demons. Jesus has authority over disease. Thirdly, Jesus has authority over the scribes. His teaching, his word, possessed an authority that theirs did not. They had a tendency, like I do, to quote other people. Jesus preached differently. For example, in his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to the people, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder.' And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." That's authority. The law says this, the scribes say this, but I say this. I say that you are steeped in sin more than you know. Steeped in sin and bound for judgment. Oh, but thankfully that's not the end of Jesus' preaching. When he preaches with authority, it's not just to tell us that we're steeped in sin and bound for judgment. As we see in verse 43 of our text, Jesus said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. I'm not just here to tell you how bad things are. I'm not here to preach bad news exclusively. No, that's just to set up the good news. The good news of the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul summarizes Jesus' message well for us. He says this, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. There's your good news. Yes, we are steeped in sin and bound for judgment, but we can be washed. We can be sanctified. We can be justified. That is, declared righteous in God's sight and able to enter into the kingdom of God in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he died on the cross, paid in full for all the sins of those who would trust in him. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave to assure one and all that his victory over sin, death, and hell was certain. And now the invitation is open. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Saved? On your way to God's eternal kingdom. Preaching this good news was a priority for Jesus. The people of Capernaum would have loved for Jesus to stay with them and continue casting out demons and healing the sick. But Jesus had to preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well. It was a priority for him. And it ought to be a priority for us as well. After all, Jesus said to us, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The one with all authority is with us. He is with us when we face demons. He is with us when we face disease. He is with us always, even to the end of the age. So go. Go and make disciples. Others who will recognize and revel in Jesus' supreme authority.